Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Gary. I'm your host. This is a call-in show, but we'll have a section where I will announce call-in times, guys. And when I do, you're welcome to call in with a comment, question, etc. So I want to start off by, as I usually do, by thanking everyone who's listening in for listening in. And I hope you enjoy the presentation tonight. This title, if you'll notice, if you got this promotion, is called The Sting of the Wasp. And a WASP is actually an acronym. That acronym is for White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. They call them WASPs. I'm sure you must have heard that somewhere in your travels. Anyway, it ain't about the WASP necessarily. But this presentation, it's called The Sting of the Wasp. And we're going to talk, I'm going to talk about why this presentation tonight, guys, but tonight I want to do a little bit on the races, the race is the cultures, the peoples, who at one point or another in their time here in this country, what I call felt the sting, what I call the sting of the wasp. See, none of us remember that there were signs on the pubs outside in America, in some places in America, there were signs outside that says no dogs or Irish allowed. Right? You've seen signs that said whites only. We've seen those, if you're old enough. Because that's not too far in our past in this country. But even before you saw one of those, you saw a "No Dogs Are Irish Allowed" signs posted in America on the door, on the entrances to institutions, businesses, and the like. So that's what I mean. There are many cultures, there are many peoples who felt the sting of the wasp. How they responded to that sting, then and now, and I got to get back to now, how they dealt with that sting is what we need to take a look at tonight. Tonight, guys, the sting of the wasp. We're going to do a little history on some peoples. And you're going to ask me, how could they not owe this wasp for what it did to them? And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell you why when I get back. So here's a little music. I want everybody to kick back, get comfortable, because tonight we're going to go into a little bit of your American history as we talk about the cultures and the peoples and the communities who felt the sting of the wasp in this country and how they reacted to that sting and are reacting to this very day. Interesting enough. I'll be back. I'm going to give you a little music.
Shall we begin?
This is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
We're back. Welcome, guys, to Revolutionary Life, where we view every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. And as I remind you, revolution is nothing but change. They tell me that's the one thing constant in this universe is change. revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. Tonight, here on Revolutionary Life, I had a conversation with a couple of colleagues of mine, friends of mine, let's put it this way, I asked a question, a historical one, I guess, about whether anyone knew about the Irish potato famine. And a couple of people that I spoke to were not familiar with the Irish potato famine, even though that's a part of world history and American history. You see, many of the Irish who came to these shores, the United States of America's shores, came poor and hungry because of that famine, that potato famine in Ireland, in their own country. They left their country and immigrated to the United States so that they could eat, so that they could live a decent life. They were dying. They were starving. They was going homeless, hungry, and ragged in their own country. And rather than starve, they got on a boat and came to this country to try to make a life for themselves. And so the potato famine was one part of the impetus for the Irish immigrating in great, great numbers, thousands of them coming to the United States, leaving their country, the country they were born in, coming to the United States to try to build a decent life, a new life, a life. That's how bad it was for an Irishman in his own country, a country called Ireland. The Irish had to leave. Or starve, or live a poor life. Desperate survival level life. So they left, the Irish left Ireland, their home, and came to the United States. So we got to talking about how did the potato possibly lead to that famine? Why did they eat something else? Steak, for instance. Well, guys, the Italians came to this country also poor, in the thousands, leaving Italy, their home country, behind. Rather than be poor, hungry, homeless, and ragged in their own country, they sought to come to the United States to better themselves and the lives of themselves and their family. They immigrated in the thousands, poor, illiterate, some unable to even speak English. And they came still in the thousands to a country where they could not speak the language, that they did not know much about. The Chinese, starving, hungry, homeless, climbed on ships and sent their people here to make a decent living rather than starve in China. Man, that's how we got a Chinatown. That's how we got a little Italy and a Southie. Because these new immigrants could not live among everyone else. they had to be ushered off into a corner of the city while everyone else exploited their labor and their ignorance of the language and how things work here. And a new immigrant couched together in little places called like Little Italy. And then Chinese got together in little places like Chinatown. And they were allowed to have their own little place as long as they stayed in their place. How can immigrants be both welcome and not welcome? Because the United States needed their labor. You see, they said that there's a dead Chinaman. There's a dead Chinese man for every tie in the railroads that cross this country. From shore to shining shore. Chinese labor, cheap labor, where they didn't get paid money, they got paid stripped, that they could take to the company store. And they were exploited to death. To death, guys. I'm serious. The Chinese, there was a joke about how do you build a railroad through a mountain. You dig a hole as deep as you can into that mountain. You give a Chinaman a stick of dynamite and tell him to go all the way in that hole as far as he can, lay that dynamite down and hurry and come back out. As the hole got deeper, fewer and fewer Chinamen made it out. And they laughed and said, what's the most you lose as a Chinaman? That's what I mean when I say the sting of the wasp. When the Irish got here and saw signs on the pubs going, no dogs are Irish allowed. That's what I mean when I talk about the sting of the wasp. Why you couldn't associate with the wasp of this country. You could do their work for them. For chump change or for nothing. So their labor was exploited. Their labor was needed and exploited when it got here. They worked them to death in coal mines and the like. While the white folks made millions, while the wasps made millions off of the coal mines and the oil fields and the railroads. And the agriculture across this country, the workers, the immigrant, got chump change. Enough to get them back to work the next day. Just like a slave. They said there's a dead Chinaman for every tie in the railroad that crossed this country. That's what I mean about the sting of the wasp. The Chinese have felt it. The Italians have felt it. We black people did not make up the word wop or dago for an Italian. Wasp made that up. Black people did not make up cheeks for Chinese men, slants or whatever they call them. Whites made that up. We didn't call Hispanic people Puerto Ricans and Mexicans, we didn't call them spics. You see, wasp did. I'm just saying. When I get to the contemporary part of this conversation about those different cultures today, I want to look at how they act today. So I wanted to do this presentation because I wonder if the Irish out there remember the sting of the wasp. I wonder if the Chinamen out there, the Chinese out there remember the sting of the wasp. And I wonder if the Italian out there recall that sting, that exploitation and that oppression, and that racism. You see, you guys were Catholic. Except for the Chinese, the Irish, and the Italians were Catholic. What do you think a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant have for a Catholic? You see, the Irish were Catholic. You see, the Italians were Catholic. And so it was all right to treat them the way you did, to exploit them. They were dumb immigrants. It was all right to do whatever you needed to do to exploit their labor and their ignorance. Every Italian who knows this history knows this. Every Irishman who knows this history knows this history. What happened? Do you guys forget the sting of the wasp? I know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you exactly what happened when I get back. I'm going to give you a little music, and I'll be back. Now let's break this song down.
Thank you.
Gilbert. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is your host, Gary. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, I titled The Sting of the Wasp. And if you saw our promo, WASP is an acronym. That acronym stands for White, Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And I asked the question as I went along. Who remembers the sting of the wasp? And so just in case some people might have forgotten that sting, I thought I'd take tonight to remind them. And I'm talking to the Irish. I'm talking to the Italian. Tonight I'm talking to the Chinaman. What happened? Did you forget the sting of the wasp? Yeah, that's right. What happened, guys, was what always happens in conquest of a people. You replace that language from Italian or Chinese or whatever to the language of the oppressor. And the better you can speak that language, close to that oppressor, the oppressor considers you converted. You change your religion to that of your oppressor. If you're going to make it in your oppressor's world, the more you look, walk and talk, worship like him, the more you will be accepted and allowed to get good, better jobs and place stations in society. Every slave knows that. I told you, when the Irish got here hungry and poor, they were worked to death. Men, women, and children. Children. Irish children work like men. They didn't go to school. There was no school for them. Immigrants worked, were exploited for their labor. Ignorance of the language helped in the fact that many of them were Catholic, not Protestants, helped also in that oppression. And the wasp got rich. Because we all know, if you listen to my presentation, you already got this, that slavery is no more than someone helping you create value. And when you cash that value in, you share none of the proceeds with the person that helped people that helped you make it, or very little. You remember that presentation when I told you that in 2016, in the year 2016, America had the best year ever financially and internationally. Our gross national product had grown. America had produced great wealth. And then the next line in the paragraph says, most of that wealth went to 1% of Americans. I told you what slavery was, what it always was. It's when somebody helped you make value, create value. And you share none of the proceeds that that value brings. Well, as little as you possibly can with the people who help you make it. That's how you get billionaires. That's how it's done. That's how it's been done since the Greeks. You remember? Greek was a slave society. That's how it was done since Rome. You remember? Rome was a slave society. That's how it's been done since 1776. You remember? the United States of America was a slave society, accepted slavery as a way of doing thing business. Several other countries had outlawed slavery. Enslaving human beings for your fun and profit. At the core of slavery, I explained to you in those classes what the core of slavery was, that's it. And I'm not telling you anything new. My grandmama told me this. This didn't come from Adam Smith, the father of capitalism. I asked my grandmother what was sharecropping. Sharecropping. Look it up if you never heard of it. My grandmother said sharecropping was when you worked all year round for the white man, and at the end of the year you owed him. Sharecropping. Anyway, so guys, the Irish felt the sting of the wasp. They treated them like dirt. But you know what? The Irish cut a deal here in America. The Irish ensured the whites, the wasp, that they could keep a lid on the black community for them and the Hispanic communities for them. So the Irish became one of the first enforcement arms of this government. Yes, they did, guys. The Irish became the first of the enforcement arm of this government, the police. Even before that, they were the best slave catchers. The paddy wagon. The paddies were another name that the WASP used for Irishmen. Paddies. Patrick. Lots of Patricks. St. Patrick. So the white Protestants call them Paddies. You don't believe me? There's a 100-year-old joke that says, why are there no snakes in Ireland? It's a fact. But why are there no snakes in Ireland? And the joke goes, they all swam to the United States and became police officers. That's an old joke, guys. That was before your time. So when I tell you that the Irish told the white Protestant, we will protect you against the... We will create a protective barrier between you and these rabble, these poor people coming here, and these blacks.
So if you become a protector of the WASP, you can find your place in society, and that's what they did. I didn't make the joke up.
Why are there no snakes in Ireland? They swam to the United States and became police. Blue bloods. Blue bloods. That's how you get accepted by an oppressor.
Military, sports, or entertainment. That's how every slave rose
under slavery. The Italians, the Chinese, every one of them exploited, used, and abused by the WASP, which made them rich, exploiting their labor and coal mines and all kinds of free, cheap labor. And as they broke their backs trying to feed their families and learn this language,
corporations got rich. Robber barons. I didn't make that term up. My history book called them robber barons. Millionaires. Billionaires offered slavery. Cheap labor. But somehow, guys, the Italians forgot about the sting of the wasp. Somewhere down the line, the Chinese seem to forget about the sting of the wasp. Well, let me give you an example of what happens to these people under oppression. What happens to anyone under oppression? The Irish are Catholic. Why are they Catholic? Catholicism came to Ireland like it came everywhere else in the world, in the known world at the time. Catholicism came to Ireland on the tips of Roman swords and spears. The Irish didn't think up Catholicism. I mean, these are the people that folks claim are the Celtic people, the Celts. But no,
they're Catholic.
When your oppressor takes care of business, guys, when your oppressor comes through and kill everything big enough to die, maybe leave you alive so you can do some work. You realize that the only way to rise in a Roman society, in an Ireland run by Romans, is to learn to speak their language and accept their religion. That's how it's done. A black man in the South
who had been captured and held in slavery.
Could only come up by learning this language and then finally accepting this religion.
But that's how it works with conquering a people.
The Irish, however, and I was telling someone
about the Irish potato famine that caused the great migration of Irishmen to America, leaving their homeland because they were starving. But I didn't tell you why
they were starving.
Excuse me. The Irish were a colony,
not a country. The Iberian Peninsula was owned
by Great Britain, the Wasp. That's why I'm talking to an Irishman tonight. How quickly you forget the sting of the Wasp. Ireland was owned
as a colony to be raped and exploited of its resources
by England, by the British Empire. And you see, guys, if a British lord owned a piece of Ireland and he had cattle, he would certainly hire Irishmen to herd his cattle, but they could not eat them. They could not eat them. They could only hurt them. And as the Irish got poorer and hungrier, they had to keep them working.
And so a Russian came to the British one day and said, "What are you feeding these Irish slaves, serfs, or whatever you want to call them, that are working your fields in their own country as your subjects of the British crown? We ain't feeding them nothing. They're not allowed to eat the cows that they herd or the sheep that they tend. So they're starving." The Russian told him, "Look, we got a plan. I got something that'll help you out right away."
The Russian said, "Listen here. This is what we do for our Jews." You see, the Russian, under the Tsar of Russia, Tsar means Caesar, guys. They all thought they were Romans. the Russians maintain a place called the Pale, an area called the Pale, P-A-L-E. Have you ever heard anybody
make the expression, if you say something that's way out, that's unbelievable, you might hear someone say, oh, that's just beyond the pale.
That's just beyond the pale. Beyond the pale. There was a pale, and it was way out, away from Russia, away from Moscow. In Russia, but away from Moscow, away from the city. And that's where they kept their Jewish slave labor. They couldn't live in the city. They lived in the pale and poverty. But they've learned how to keep them healthy enough to come back to work. The Russians said, we got this potato. And when we plant this potato, we found that we could take a knife and just cut the little dents in the potato, the little eyes in the potato, they used to call them. If you cut those little eyes off the potato and plant them, it'll grow a whole nother potato. And you don't have to pay anything to feed these Irish slaves. Have them work their ass off and feed them potatoes.
Come on, y'all. Every one of y'all know what an Irish potato. When you go to the grocery store, next time you go to the grocery store, ask for Irish potatoes. They'll point you to them
if you can't find them. We've all, right? Why do you think there's an Irish potato? The Irish didn't think it up. Irish didn't come up with a potato in their culture. It was introduced to them
to feed them, to feed these slaves, these Irish slaves. Because Great Britain owned Ireland.
It was a colony of Great Britain, just like the United States was in the beginning. And as any colony, all it was fit for
is exploitation of goods and services back to England. And the people who lived in these colonies
either worked or starved, either worked for the crown, the oppressor, or starved. So the Irish got the potato so that they could herd sheep and cattle without eating any of them. Because they didn't belong to them, they belonged to the British lords. Well, what happened, guys, is they cut the eyes off those potatoes. They cut those little pieces off the potato and planted them and grew another potato and planted them and grew another potato and had miles and miles of potato crop. The problem is that if you create a million potatoes from one potato, they all have the same genetic makeup. My point being, one potato got a disease. All of them got the disease. The potato blight, it was called, destroyed the entire season's potato crop. The Irish starved to death. The Irish starved to death.
The Irish potato famine, if you never heard of it. There it is. Now let me tell you something. All of the Irish didn't leave and come here. Some people believe that they were Irish because they were born and raised in Ireland and it belonged to them, not England. They no longer wanted to be a colony. Slaves for the British Empire. And they didn't want to get on a ship and come to the United States. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard of the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, the Irish Republican Army. These were the Irish who said, we ain't going nowhere. We're not getting on no boat to the United States. This is Ireland. We were born and raised here. This is our country. What we're going to do is get the British out of our country. And we can grow our wheat and herd our sheep and our cattle for us to feed, to eat, and live. The hell with a potato. So the Irish got brave enough to decide to take back Ireland, their home. Now, here's where we go to today.
Let me just break off from that. Here we go to today. Using the Irish example,
the Northern Irish were allowed to, as long as they were willing to give up their language and their religion, was allowed to play white.
And they split the Irish people between the North Irish and the Southern Irish.
The Southern Irish were still Catholic, as they had been for centuries, and traditional. The Irish people of the land, Ireland. In the North, they had thrown off their culture for the culture of the oppressor. They thought they were British. They acted like British, they ate like British, dressed like British, walked and talked like the British, the oppressor, and hoped to have favor from the oppressor. And also to hope to have favor for the oppressor, they joined the oppressor in fighting the IRA and the Southern Irishmen who wanted their country back. So they were able to split the Irish guys. Some Irishmen fought against their brothers, Irish, fellow Irishmen, on the side of the white people, on the side of the British people. The WASP. Some of them gave up their religion of Catholicism and became Protestant, just like the WASP, to gain favor of the WASP. So these Irishmen didn't go hungry. They had no reason to come here. They weren't starving. They weren't eating potatoes. In fact, as long as they did the bidding of the British, the British made sure they ate. When the Southern Irish couldn't. I'm just saying, guys. This presentation I'm doing tonight is called The Sting of the Wasp. I'm doing it not to talk to the wasp. I'm talking to those who got stung. Where are you? Did you forget the sting of the wasp? They said there's a dead Chinaman for every time the railroad crossed this country. They used to have signs up that says no dogs or Irishmen allowed on buildings. You see, now that the Irish, the Italian, even the Chinaman, has been allowed to play white, to change his language and his religion to that of his oppressor. In fact, they found a place. Unfortunately, oftentimes that place is oppressing the next row down, the next caste in this country down. But if you work for the oppressor, you might eat well, better than those who don't. And that's been true about slaves since biblical times. So I guess I understand why when a Black Lives Matter or somebody stands up for black people, people and their rights, or Martin Luther King. I guess I understand now why the Italian didn't rally with us, or the Irishman didn't rally with us, when the same oppressor, when they didn't have black people, when the Ku Klux Klan didn't have black people to harass, they hung Catholics.
You don't hear me.
Catholics were next in line to be harassed and run out of town. I think John F. Kennedy was the first president in this country to ever to be a president of this country, Catholic, to be Catholic. Irish Catholic, at that. And they blew the top of his head off. And when his brother ran, they blew the kilt to him too. And when people rise up and say that the system needs to change, we look around and we can't find the Irish. We look around and we can't find the Italian. The WOP, the Dago. We didn't, black people didn't make those names up for you. They came from WASP. Spix and Mix. All that stuff. Niggers. Black people didn't make up that. We know where that came from, and so do you. And I wonder where y'all at. But I think I understand. If you please your oppressor,
you might live better. If you will join your oppressor's forces while they oppress another people. If you'll help, if you'll be a slave catcher, if you'll be a police in the poor neighborhoods, if you'll protect the WASP in his neighborhoods, then you can find a place in this society. And I guess a bunch of y'all went for it. I just want to take the night to tell you, don't forget. You felt the sting of the WASP too. As if you bought in or sold out. Because I let you play white. You gave up your religion and your language. Black people didn't do anything about it, weren't responsible for that.
My lines are open. My phone number is area code 714-816-4765. 714-816-4765. And this time is your time to shine. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I told you that this was a call-in show. Well, this is a call-in half of that show. If you have questions, comments, you can call this number, area code 714-816-4765, 714-816-4765, and I'll bring you on the air. Everyone will hear your question or comment. Everyone will get a chance to hear my response. All right. Also, I'm going to be opening up my chat room. When that chat room opens, you're going to be free to come into the chat, and you can put your questions or comments in the chat. I'll deal with them in the chat or on the air if you like. It's a call-in show, guys. It's your time to shine. Tell them about the exploitation of their labor and their ignorance of the language. They don't tell them about the pressure for them to change their language, their culture, and their religion to match that of the oppressors. Or maybe some of them got so far down the road that they think they're a wasp.
I don't know.
How can the Jews not remember that thing? But I tell you what. There used to be Jewish pogroms, guys. We had to talk about that sometimes. There used to be times when the whole village got a pogrom, P-O-G. Now, I did a class on this, guys, so you can go back and look at my Jewish Adolf Hitler concentration camp class presentations. But every now and then, everybody used to get together and go raid the Jewish quarter, Jewish neighborhood. For the hell of it. No, it wasn't for the hell of it. They run them out of town. However, them days are gone, it seems. They returned under Adolf Hitler. Interesting enough. Jews and Arabs lived together at one time. No conflict. But when the Wasp came on the scene, it's when they had their troubles. Because when you oppress a people, if you remember, conquest requires that the people you oppress adopt your language and your religion.
Failure to do so
is rebellion against the system. A black man in this country who can speak like a white man would be considered intelligent, well-spoken, and going along with the program. A black man in this country who doesn't speak good English will be considered ignorant or rebellious
against the culture, the oppressive source culture.
And so, sure enough, the Jews sought to hold on to their religion
under an oppressor that was Christian.
And so there were pogroms against the Jews. They were considered heretics.
They were slaughtered
for their beliefs.
Russia enslaved them in a place called the Pale, way away from Russia, way away from Moscow, way away from the city of Russians.
White Russians.
But that was their slave labor. They kept them out away from the city in a place called the Pale that was impoverished.
I'm just saying, guys, I talked about each of these cultures, as a matter of fact,
in my presentations. Tonight, I'm talking to them. And I'm asking. But I also understand. This is how it's done. An oppressor's demands must be met
if you are to come up in a society. And the primary demand of conquest is that the conquered change their language to that of the oppressor. And they change their religion to that of the oppressor.
Simple as that.
And you become acceptable. But I just want you Irishmen. I just want you Italians. I just want you Chinese
men and women and women
to don't forget the sting that it was. It could come again.
My line's open. My phone number is area code 714-816-4765. 714-816-4765. If you call in, I'll put you on the air.
Your questions, your comments will be heard by all. So will my response.
Tonight we're talking about the sting of the wasp, guys. And I asked several cultures tonight
if they remember the sting of the Wasp. I had to ask.
Because when black people out there fighting for their rights
to not die and be oppressed and be treated as second-class citizens,
when I look at the history of our struggle, I have to ask, where
were these people? Did they forget that sting?
Did they forget what happened to them? No.
In fact, some of them joined, bought in, and agreed to help the oppressor carry out his oppression of Africans in this country. His war and his enslavement, his method for building civilization, war, conquest, and enslavement, they decided to come help him carry those things out
as a way of being accepted in this society. You see,
I told you
that some Irishmen didn't leave Ireland. That was their home. They stayed and fought the British up out of there. They could have got on the boat and come here. But they fought for their land, for their country. And yeah, they had to fight their own kind.
Because some of their own kind, just like what's going on here, some of their own kind thought they were white,
struggling to be accepted by the Wasp.
Join the Wasp in fighting their own brothers.
Their own brothers who were doing nothing but saying, "This is Ireland, we are Irish, this is ours." And Great Britain took it. Strong arm robbery. That's how the British Empire was built. And Ireland said, "No more. We're going to be a colony where all of our resources, while we starve, all of our resources are going out to Great Britain." No way. Some people didn't leave.
And you've heard of the Irish Republican Army. I'm just saying. Some Irish remember the sting, and some seem, and the ones in this country don't seem to fit. Remember that.
They seem to be trying to still fit in. Your blue bloods. They're still protecting the man who is oppressing us and has joined them in that oppression
of our slavery. So I had to call him out tonight. Maybe I gave them some history they didn't even know they had,
if they were listening. Just maybe there's Irish who never heard of a potato famine, or why there's a such thing called an Irish potato. Maybe there's an Irish kid who don't know when signs on the white people's building said no dogs are Irish allowed in this place, when they were considered just a notch above beast by the Wasp,
when they died in the millions because the Wasp controlled their country and the food in it.
Perhaps they forgot. So I just reminded them tonight, or those who don't know at all. When people are fighting
against this oppression, it's not uncommon for them to look around for others who have suffered. But we are missing them.
The Chinamen don't come with us, even though there's a dead one for every tie in the railroad that crossed this country, they used to say.
Even though America built this great railroad system across this country, they built holes through mountains
by sending a Chinaman in a hole with a stick of dynamite.
All he had to do was lay it down and run out. Take it all the way to the end of the hole and run back out of that hole. And many Chinamen didn't make it. And the joke among the wealthy was, what's the most you lose as a Chinaman? So I'm talking to Chinamen tonight. Y'all forget the sting of the wasp. I still got some time. If you have a question or comment, my phone number is 714-816-4765. That's 714-816-4765. It's your time to shine.
Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio,
where we look at every aspect of our lives
through a revolutionary lens.
And of course, revolution is nothing but change. Revolutionary just want to ride that wave. We want to be on the vanguard of that change. Hell, when you're in the front of change, you might have something to do with guiding it in and how it lands. So change is coming. Revolutionary just tries to keep their finger on the pulse. We're out there protesting and fighting for our rights in this country and have been since slaves were considered proof of chattel slavery. And sometimes I wonder, where are those other races who have felt this sting from the wasp? So tonight I talked a little bit about the Irish in America, the immigrant,
the Chinese in America, the immigrant, the Chinatowns in the Little Italies exist because they didn't want you living in their neighborhoods, and you know it. The Southeast in Boston exists because they didn't want you in their neighborhood because you were an Irishman. Did you forget? Sting of the Wasp. And I do understand that some people just buy in or sell out to get a leg up in an oppressive society. Is what you have to do. I thank everybody for calling in, for listening in tonight. This is Revolutionary Life, and we're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We invite you to come back here tomorrow night at 10 p.m. You never know what the subject's going to be, guys. But if you see that follow button on the website, on our site here, click follow. And you will be able to get, you may be able to get a heads up on what the title is going to be for the show, for the upcoming show. But be here at 10 and you'll know. Because I'll be on tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Often in my shows, by letting you know that one of the ways that I make my living is I teach. You might have gathered that. I'm an instructor. I teach a Spanish class, as a matter of fact, called Spanish for the English Speaker. I teach that class every Sunday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you're welcome to attend. You can attend that class on Skype, or you can attend that class in person at 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard in Memphis, Tennessee. That's 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard on Memphis, in Memphis, Tennessee. Every Sunday, between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., I'm teaching that class. On a Saturday, I teach a computer class, an IT class, I call it, information technology class, where I familiarize all of our students with their equipment and how to get the best out of it. That's every Saturday between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. at the same place, the Java Complex, at 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard. If you're interested, hit me back. Anytime you log back into my site, you will find a comment section. Well, you can also send comments still, even after the show's over. And, of course, you'll see all of my older shows. They're all archived. So when you log in, you can pick any of the show based on the topic you want to hear. Again, thank all of you for listening in. And I hope to see you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. when we take another revolutionary look at our lives. I will end the way I always do, but I'll add one other thing. I always end by telling you to live, practice living fearless, fearless, so that everything that requires fear to mess with you can't. It has to go somewhere else. It has to find somebody that's scared of it. Live fearless and have no doubts. None. And I'll see you tomorrow night.